Caucasus tape T95/7, and I'm Valentina Bold. It's the 7th of February 1995, and I'm about to talk with Ruby Stewart of Cumbrae Street in Clydebank about her memories of going to the cinema in the 1930s.
I'll carry on. I did this voice over up in Clyde Street.
Right.
The waterfront building. Oh, look, a lovely modern building. Very water new. Oh, very latest equipment and everything. So it was about Singer, about the early days of Singer.
Right. That's interesting, because I mean, is it? Have you been in this area most of your life? I was going to ask if you would mind putting this mic on.
Listen, because it picks up a lot better. I'll come over here. I'll bring it over, and it'll be better.
It's one of these be clip-on ones, so she'd.
Where would you suggest I put it?
Probably round about there. That would be perfect, actually. Because I can see the noise level on that, and that looks about right for you.
Take this first name quickly. Take it.
Mm. That's lovely.
It's been made for a wee while, but it keeps all right in the tin. Mm. Sometimes I put it into the oven for a minute or two, but I didn't do that today.
It's very nice.
Well, before we start, I must tell you a lovely experience I had, when we were at Mulgay. And I talk about Burns' early days and how his father was in that, lived, his grandfather in Aberdeenshire, and I belonged there myself. I was 8 only when my parents came here. Then I finished the talk. We had a great, it was a really, some nights, you know, just everything went fine. Got a lady that plays the fiddle, a pianist, a singer, and myself. And this lady came up and she said, you know, it was so interesting. She said, could I have your name and your phone number? And I'll phone you. And I said, well, you give me yours as well. And she says, where in Aberdeenshire did you come from? And I said, Peterhead. And her eyes just lit up. That's where her husband was born and educated. Went to Aberdeen University, became a doctor, and they were in a practice in the Midlands for 43 years. But her husband died. She stayed a while, but she was very much on her own, and being into 80s now, people were dying that she knew. So his son suggested she come up and stay near them in Mulgay. So they got her a nice flat. Oh, it's a gorgeous flat, beautiful. Very, very, everything's good, everything's quality in it. Well, you'll know I've been. So she phoned one day, she said, would you come and see me? I said, I'm awful, awful busy through January. So just about the end of January, maybe the last day she phoned. And she says, I'm not rushing you, I just wanted to talk about Peterhead and all that. I said, well, you know, I'm not bad on a Saturday or a Sunday, so I was there a week past Saturday, but the snow came on the Friday. So I went over for the papers, as I do for my neighbour and myself every morning, and the phone went. And, no, I phoned her and I said, now, I don't want you coming down to the station. She was coming to meet me in that snow. She said, oh, no, I couldn't have come, a bit shaky. So she says, leave it till 10 o'clock and I'll phone you back. So I says, I'm all right. Oh, this is just my magazine, it's okay.
Can I ask again then what the picture halls were locally here in Clydebank?
Well, we had quite a few picture halls in these days, in the early days. And the one I remember most, because it was near where we lived and we went on a Saturday afternoon, that was the Kinema. Now, this wasn't a great hall, but you went down a steep slope into it. It was underground and always had that sort of musty smell that old buildings have. And maybe being underground would make it worse. And then we had the Bank Cinema, which at one time had been a theatre, because the Gaiety was still on the wall. The Gaiety was there on the wall where behind it. But it was the Bank Picture Hall all the time I knew it. That was in the very east end of Clydebank. You come along a bit and you get the Empire, which was a very popular one. And it was central, it was just about opposite John Brown's. Then you go down right to the west and you get Dalmuir, which was very popular with the people who lived down there. But I didn't go there much. If I was there twice, that would be the very most. Then you come on to Kilbowie Road, which is the main road up going north, and you had the Pavilion there, which used to do, so I've heard, a variety turns and films. But as I knew it, it was just the films. And then further up, there was one called The Palace, which, and I don't remember going, maybe I'd been once or twice, but you never heard so much about The Palace for some reason. And it was gone long, many years ago. I don't know what year the main one that most people would remember, the La Scala, because it's a big modern building. And I know it was there in 1941, so possibly opened about in the 30s, I would think, because it was needed and there's a big population up there. And it started as being just a picture hall. As the years progressed and not so many people were going to the pictures and bingo became popular, they made the bottom part bingo and the top part was still pictures for a while. Then the top part became a snooker hall, and I haven't been in either the bingo hall or the snooker hall, so I don't know what like they are. But usually when I'm waiting on a bus there at that stop, I see all the people going in, and it seems to still, even to this day in 95, they both seem to be popular. But it never has been a thing I've gone to, so that's all. Of course, now we have the advantage of a lovely modern 10-unit film studio down in our shopping, right in the middle of the shopping precinct, which is handy for everyone. And if I'm late at night coming up, by the look of all the cars there in the car park, it seems to be popular. I had a friend here from Canada once, and she wanted to take me out for dinner and to the pictures, and she had booked a show round about 8 o'clock. So we went and had dinner first, then we went to the show at 8 o'clock. And to my amazement, when we came out there, there was queues galore waiting to get in. And this would mean they were there after midnight. But it was for Shirley Valentine. Now, I'd forgotten about that till this moment, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I thought it was just wonderful. Enjoyed that. And we came out, and McDonald's is right across the road. So we were in and had a coffee in McDonald's. So Clydebank is really a bit up to date now. She was here from Vancouver, and she said to me, I can't believe I'm in Clydebank. Well, she was born and brought up in Clydebank. But I went away, very keen to go on. And she has done very well, and she's a business type in Vancouver. So that was one nice visit I had to the cinema, the new complex. But other than that, I must say I only go when I have the grandchildren here. And the last one I saw was Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, that one with Kevin Costner. Though I don't go, I'm kind of inclined to sort of read all about the actors and actresses, you know. But I don't think I've missed out any picture halls. That was the ones then and now. But what we have now covers all of them, of course, because a diverse programme. There's something to suit everyone who wants to go there.
When you were mentioning, I mean, it was probably maybe about five, six cinemas that there were.
Yes.
When you came here.
Yeah.
Were there differences in the sort of programmes that they showed, or that were some of
well,
them...
Well, I think there would need to have been, yeah. But I just... That is a thing I don't remember too much. There was always one film that would be very, very popular and everybody went to... Then, of course, we came to the later era, that would be La Scala, with The Sound of Music, you know, which I must say I saw that, but I saw it in Glasgow. And after my husband retired, there were quite good advantages in Glasgow in the cinema, really good. I mean, I think I'm talking about a shilling or that. He retired in 71, which was the year of the decimal. So... Well, probably thinking before that a little, because he was free during the week, being an insurance agent. His day off was a Thursday, and we possibly went up and took advantage of the afternoon cheap prices. And I remember seeing the Gandhi film and the one about Eric Liddell. That was a wonderful show, that one. But The game, Chariots of Fire, that was it. I've forgotten the name, I shouldn't forget that, Chariots of Fire. That's at that time we did that. Just went when we saw anything we thought was really good. The Gandhi film was a very interesting one too. It was really amazing, that particularly the start on the train, when he was thrown off the train, and yet he was, I think he was a lawyer or something, but he was thrown off that train. Wee things stick in your mind like that, you know, but that's a long time ago now. But
I mean, I was very interested in your letter when mm-hmm. you were talking about your memories of the early cinema and the people like Pearl White.
That's right. That, when we went on a Saturday, they always stopped the film at a very exciting bit, you know. The heroine was lying on the railway track, bound, and the train coming. So you're bound to come back the next week, or they were on a cliff top and going to fall over something. Pearl White's a name I remember. That made you come back too.
Yeah.
I did miss a little hall that it was never well known as a big picture hall. They called it the Cooperative Hall. It belonged to the Cooperative Society. But I know we did go there, because I have memories of walking, because my young sister was next to me, just a year between us. The five of us are not much between us, but I would have her hand going down there, because we were never allowed too far away at any time, you know. You didn't get allowed to go too far at that age. And I do remember going to that Cooperative Hall. But what was... Oh, yes, I do remember. It was Clara Bow at the time, the It Girl. So, you see, that was going back before the 30s time that you were really interested in. And she was the It Girl. And I realised that was the wrong era, you know. But I do remember her quite well. I know she was very glamorous and lovely.
Was she someone you particularly...
Yes, I think so, because she was so nice and attractive and vivacious and everything. But I think that's all that I can remember about that. But you do, I wrote in my letter about the coincidence of the day, the actual day of the Blitz, 13th of March. And a friend who had been called up for the Air Force, he and his wife had always visited us quite a lot. And he said, now, you're coming out with us on Thursday. We'll go. He had worked in Lewis's, the big shop, Lewis's Polytechnic. And he said, we'll go to Lewis's and have our dinner, and then we'll go to the pictures. So it was wonderful, him, all the staff he met and everybody over speaking to him. He had been in the Air Force for a short time then. So then we went, and I remember, and I'm positive of this, it was the Mark of Zorro. And we thoroughly enjoyed it, and we come out, and they wanted me to go to Rock Hill with them, but I said, no, it'd be too late for me getting back. But besides that, I had an appointment with this ARP training we were doing, and that was the night we had to go through the big gas thing, you know, with the gas mask on. It was just like a big bus, and you walked in one end and out the other. I never got to do it, incidentally. So I'd got home, sort of put off my good coat and put on an ordinary every day one. Went away down to the meeting. About 9 o'clock, the sirens went. Well, most of us weren't inclined to pay much attention to the sirens, but one man said, if you don't mind, I'd rather go home. My wife's very nervous. So that was the finish. The man who was instructing us in this said, well, we'll just all go home. We'll just all do that. So another lady whom I'd really never known, we walked up the hill together, just chatting and casually, nice, beautiful moonlight. Oh, the evening was beautiful for March. It was just a lovely night. And we weren't halfway up when all the commotion started, with the guns and the bombs and everything. So I managed to get home to find that all the people in our closes, you all lived up closes, were all saying, come on, come on, into the shelter. Now, the shelter wasn't quite finished, but it was better than none. So we went in there, all the neighbours there of our close, who were all saved. But about 1 o'clock in the morning, a huge landmine hit the building dead in the centre, and over 70 people were killed with that one mine that night. And the shelter right facing them was demolished, which meant these great arcs of concrete come down on top of them. And they started carrying the people, or bodies and people, into ours and asked us if we would all go and make our way to the Hyde Park best way you could, which was a big wide open space, thought would be safer there, which we did. And we were instructed if we felt anything was coming very near, lie down, get down flat, and we made ourselves a way there. Well, my husband had been working late in the ordnance at that time, and I never saw him for quite a while, and we didn't know what happened to one another. He was an ARP, he was an actual in the ARP and had to go and work in his area. So he came right from his work and went to the area that he was sent to. But we met in the morning. It was very, very cold. We lay out there in the open all night, and I had a little girl in my arms, and somebody gave us a blanket. The people were grabbing the things off their beds, and it was this woman had a little twin, only 10 days old. The other twin had died, and there was this wee weak baby, and she had the little girl with an awful bad foot, and she'd asked me if I would carry her up. And I hadn't any children then, and I felt she was really a ton weight. Mm-hmm. And then she took her from me, and she gave me this little twin, who I, about 10 days old, I think. But it was too much for the baby. And we went to the high school, and sitting there, they came round, not so much doctors, but all the nurses came, and this one came and brought a doctor to me. And he said, is it your child? I said, no, it's this lady here. Well, he says, would you mind just staying for a wee while till we can arrange something? But I knew the baby was gone, it was coast, you know. So the strange thing is, I never saw that lady ever. I never saw her again. Well, we were all scattered to all over, so I never saw her again. This is getting away from her pictures, but that was what happened that very night after I'd had such a lovely day at the what picture hall? The Odeon, was it the Odeon then? The Paramount then. Paramount it was called at that time, it's the Odeon now. So it was really from a lovely day to a nightmare at night. But we survived and were away for about a year out in Lanarkshire for a time. I had to look after my husband's parents. My parents were younger and able to fend for themselves. And they got housed back quite much sooner, you know, because my father was one of the sort of key men in the yard, and he had to get home. But that was it. So after that, we stayed with my mother for about 6 years. No houses to go to, but they were starting to build. And I used to get an odd time, mother would say to my sister and I, we could go down to the Empire. The Empire was usually the favourite one. I remember seeing one with Dirk Bogarde, the something heart, the hasty heart, maybe. This is long, long ago. This would have been just the beginning of the 40s, you know. I remember seeing the hasty heart there and being quite impressed with it. I don't know why I didn't go to the pictures oftener, but I always seem to have such a lot of other interests. And now I don't think I could just manage unless it was something really special. Yes. But a lot of my friends go and they'll say, it's a really good film, and I thought, I must go. But I don't go.
I mean, you say when you were a child, you used to go on a Saturday.
Saturday afternoons were the only times. Yeah.
And did you go with your husband at all when you were... Seeing him, or?
Not an awful lot, do you know? Right. Not a lot at all. No, we were all... It was really bad times, money-wise. It was really bad times. And we didn't go out a lot like they do now, that they're almost together all the time.
Yeah.
I had the guides. I was always in the guides, and I was always in other things. And we would go out maybe on a Thursday night, and we'd go out on a Saturday. Oh, I know what we used to do. It seems crazy now when I think it. We used to go to a little whiz drive, and I still go to whiz drives yet. But we would go to the pictures, maybe, if it was... Oh, no, I'll tell you what we were keen on. And we used to go to the Glasgow Empire. That was regular. Thinking in Noel Coward's things, and Ivor Novello's Dancing Years. And I've seen the... the Yorkshire thing, Greasy Fields,
really?
There. Cab Calloway came from America. Oh, we've got some wonderful, wonderful shows there. And they didn't cost much.
What was Greasy Fields like? When did you see her?
I would see her likely around about the 40s.
Yes.
I would think about the 40s. Oh, wonderful.
Did you like
great
her
voice.
The film,
oh, yes. Aye, I did like her, but I did. The records will show when she was there. I couldn't say exactly. But I do know when the Dancing Years were on, because it was when we were still at Mother's that I saw it. So it's somewhere between 1940 and 46. Of course, my husband was away a good bit of that time. He would come home right likely about 45, I think. But it was with girls that I knew that we went to the... to the Dancing Years, a few of us decided to go. It was really good. But with my husband, he was always keen in all the bands. He played a bit himself. He was in a wee dance band, nothing great, but he played the banjo and the clarinet. That was his two instruments. So we did rather inclined to go to variety more than the pictures, you know, with some friends.
I was going to say that I brought along some photos of... I think I maybe brought this along to when I was in Clydebank, four of the Vogues.
Oh, the Vogue. Mm.
I think that's the Govan one.
Oh, it's the Govan one, is it? Well, do you know, it's very like the Annisland one. Built the very same?
I think that's probably right, yes.
It's the entrance looks... the very same as the one at Annisland Cross. You know it?
We passed it.
Mm-hmm. W.C. Fields and Martha Ray in the big broadcast. Well, I know these people. I don't remember that film. But William Boyd, of course, is in a cowboy one here. And there's the difference from the old days to the newer days. You would get two films and a Patti Gazette, which you don't get nowadays. You're lucky you get your big film and adverts, and that's just about it.
Right.
That and your popcorn or whatever. That's it. I'm nearly sure that's... unless they build their buildings all the same.
Right.
What does that say in that wee corner?
Here's one of the Annisland ones as well, the Ascots. I don't know if you remember that one.
That's the same one, isn't it? No, it couldn't be.
I think they did build most of them.
I don't remember that now. Do you know that? Mary Hill, I don't know. The Embassy, I don't know. The Astoria, I don't know. I'm afraid I'm pretty much a country bumpkin where these things are concerned. The Roxy is well known. I mean, we've heard a lot about the Roxy. I was trying to see the name that was on that shop. F-A-L-L something. Well, I suppose it'll make me take more attention the next time I go past, because it's still there, but it's a bingo hall,
yeah,
isn't it? I know, because if ever you're on the bus, there's always seems to be a lot of people go off there at that stop.
Yeah.
So, I don't, it must be a bingo hall for quite a long time, I would think. Don't you feel sad that this has happened?
I do indeed, especially when you think of what some of these cinemas were like inside.
Yeah, beautiful inside, beautiful.
Did you go to the ones in town at all?
Yes, we did. That's where we saw the... on the right side of Sauchie Hall Street, going from our end, and it had started doing the two levels. There was a different film in one part of it, even then, when we saw Gandhi, mm-hmm. and also when we saw the Chariots of Fire. Mm. So...
Because I was wondering if you'd been to any of places like the Green's Playhouse and...
Well, everybody went to the Green's Playhouse for the one film, Gone with the Wind. We always went for that, you know.
Yeah. So it was for the big...
Yeah. For the
major
big special
movies.
One, only for a special one.
Yeah.
It was huge, huge, but there was nothing, my impression there was nothing very glamorous about it. It was very basic, just what you needed. Oh, it's okay. Can you put it off a minute, just till
sure.
I say? We have a wee pause. You haven't started it, have you? No.
As I was going to ask you about
Wait, I've got this one.
Because you mentioned that you liked the
Yes, lovely. Oh, she's lovely. But I did like her, but the one who just went everywhere she was my husband's father, who, if we weren't great film goers, he made up for us. And he saw the Desert Song must have been made into a film, because I'm sure he wasn't going to theatre. He must have seen the Desert Song oftener than anybody else. And after he retired, or even before he retired, he worked down at the baths in Clydebank. Well, he also had time maybe during the week. His days off were more likely to be during the week. And we had a little bus that went into Glasgow, and he always went to the pictures. He was fanatical cinema goer. So he sort of made up, and this was Diana Durbin. And he never always said that, Diana, right? It was always Dana. But he was an old man at this time when he loved going to the films. He really was very keen. But his one favourite was The Desert Song, that's for sure.
It's interesting. What
films would be remarkable of Diana Durbin's?
Well, there was that, The Three Smart Girls series.
Ah, that's right. That's one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it that...
My goodness, she looks like a wee girl there, doesn't
really?
She?
Yeah.
Lovely singer, of course, it was her singing. I don't remember much about the acting, but she was a lovely singer. Oh, yeah, I do remember her. Anyone else that you heard?
Well, I just brought along a few pictures. I mean, here's one of Janet Gaynor, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, but very much so. I must have gone oftener than I thought, because I do remember Janet Gaynor very well. I don't remember what film, but I can remember she was a great favourite. I thought she was lovely. Really always nice.
And then on the other side of one of these, I've got George Formby.
Oh, yeah. Now,
someone that...
Oh, I will. My husband played the banjo.
I was going to say, yes.
He used to do a lot of his things on the banjo. He lost his banjo in the Blitz, right enough, but that's a good one too, Robert Montgomery. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but however, shortly after, friends were visiting and they said to him, "Do you miss playing?" And Alan said, "Well, never had much time to miss it so far, you know, with everything in between." And he said, "I've one up in the loft and you're welcome to it." So we got that, so they still had that one. And gave it back to this man's son eventually, because he was playing and he was in a concert party,
right.
And they were going to be playing down in the south coast of England. And he asked Alan if he could have the banjo just to use as a spare if strings broke. And Alan says, I'm so delighted you did ask and you just keep it. So that boy still has it, and it was quite a good one. So that was why why we maybe liked to like it. We always like musical things, right enough.
Did you like people like Jeanette MacDonald?
Aye, Nelson Eddy, aye. Well, did like them. And of course, you always think, and what Rosemary, is it Rosemary you call it? Uh-huh, the song. Rosemary, I Love You, but yes. I thought maybe the film had another name, but I believe it was Rosemary.
I think it was Rosemary, yes.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Also saw it in Scarborough, Outdoor, as a musical.
Right.
Yeah, lovely. That went on for a few years. We saw some good shows there, and then I think the weather beat that, so they don't have the open air shows now.
Right.
But there are plenty of shows down in Scarborough anyway. That's where my son is, in Scarborough, you see.
I see, I see.
Mm-hmm. He plays all over the place, everywhere. In fact, that snowy night, he didn't get out to the place he was going to, a very well-known place in Yorkshire, where he goes often at the weekends, you know. They're so different, you wouldn't believe. Alan in Canada, well, the oldest one's Douglas, and he never very, very bright, but we got him some extra tuition, and he got to high school, and he served his time to be an engineer. But no music at all, absolutely almost tone deaf, so he doesn't think he is. But Douglas was even in a wee choir when he was 6 years old at school, you see. Mm. And then, of course, 14, it was the guitar, and he's still playing a guitar yet, and he'd won for about 30 years. The same one.
Right.
And now he has a band, 6-piece. Not a big deal, but they do quite well, play a lot all around the area. He can be playing with two of them. It can be keyboard and himself. He doesn't sing it. And it can be 3, 4, 5, whatever MD wants, but 6 of it's a big dance.
Has his music always been a big interest in the family? Yeah,
father too, I've always been interested, but I'm nothing great, but I've done it, and I've been going for over 40 years out entertaining. I've dropped to singing now, though. I was out yesterday and sang, but that was just because one of our ladies didn't turn up, you know, but I'm all right in the choir. You can get away with in a choir.
Right.
You know. But I prefer not to sing when you're my age. Not the thing to do.
Oh, I'm sure that's not true.
But I've a good memory, so I do a lot of readings.
Yes.
Some really good ones. Really good ones I've had this year particularly. Mm-hmm. Have been exceptionally good. One just picked up in the Trossachs. A friend had been in the Trossachs Inn, and a man had written this poem, and they were selling them for charity, and she got me one. So I really got my mileage out of it. All about the English wanting to take our water down there.
I see.
Sewer water, it's called. TSOOR water.
Right.
Sewer. And the lines are fantastic. I mean, yeah. I can read them to good effect, but I don't think I could ever compose them.
Yes.
I think anybody that does that's wonderful. Of course, I'm a Burns fanatic, which you probably know, and I can memorise them. So I had a little breakaway this year. I did the address to the Uncle Gid, mm-hmm. you know, which is wonderful words, and it's just as applicable today as to these days 200 years ago.
Absolutely.
When you get down to it and read it carefully, you see all the message in it, you know. Warning against the dangers of drinking and starting, you know, and then how it becomes a habit and all the things that happen after that. Warning against envying your neighbours, speaking with your neighbours. But then in the middle of you have the lovely lines, then gently scan your brother man, still gentler sister woman, though they may gang a ken and rang, to step aside as human. That's right in the middle of it. So a few words that are well known. But the rest of it is very good also. So that was a wee change this year. So I'm so sorry I don't know more about the films.
Oh.
Which I wonder if they keep records of that a way back, as far back as the Paramount in these days, but I don't think they will. It would be interesting to know if that was the picture. Is your memory good? Of course, my memory wouldn't have taken me to that if it hadn't been for the events of the day later in the night,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
The date's always there in your mind, as I say. Everybody in Clydebank. Fortunately, we don't speak a lot about it. You know, nobody goes on about it, which is a good thing. It's not a thing you dwell on. But if you do say, oh, when was it? Oh, it must have been before the Blitz because we were staying so-and-so. You know that there's that divide in the time
yes.
here. And it'll always be as long as any of us are alive.
I was very interested when you said that before we had the tape on about dating things from...
Aye, from certain
things. The
buildings
being before and after.
That's right, because this place was just demolished, you know.
Yes.
Right here, where you are now, there was a long tenement here, right along. Then some little terraced villas, and only one of them was left along there.
Mm-hmm.
Right, took you quite a long, almost, to where the police station is. Of course, there was no police station then.
Yes.
It's all entirely different, the whole
yes.
thing. Across from here, there's still some of the original houses, but then big gaps in between, where they've built in between. Cabowie Hill gone completely, all the tenements, there was nothing left there. It's all new homes. So big, big changes here. Oh, I've done talks on well, I did on the 50th anniversary, but we never thought of taping anything, you know, which is maybe a pity, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because
yes.
It was, things were maybe, well, you were thinking about the things then. And I had been so much right in the middle of it right there. And that's what I did a bit for TV. Forbes McFall came here and he said, did you actually live in that building? And were you there that night, you know? Because they couldn't get anyone. Well, there's nobody left, you see. I said, well, I was there, and I was there that night, and I'd lived in it for 4 years. We'd been 4 years married at that time. So it was on at the 7:15 news on the 50th anniversary. And then after this, there's to be nothing more about it, you know. The memories are always there for the people who lost families, whole families. They always have the memories, but none of the organised memorial services that we had. We had a big one on the 50th in the town hall, the big town hall there, and it was quite impressive. But that's it. So you just have your own memories after that, which is maybe just as well. You can go on too long. So, I should have been thinking more about the pictures, you know, when I knew you were coming, but I've really been a hectic week or two. But I must say enjoyed the pictures. Well, mind you, know, we were inclined to go to dancing too. That was another thing.
Mm.
We used to sometimes go to dancing. It was a done thing. Clydebank was a wonderful place for dancing, just as Glasgow was. You had all the teachers here, the most famous being the Todds family, that Todds Dancing was in the Masonic Hall, and they had classes and all sorts. And we always did that also. So too bad we didn't go more to films, go to see films, but we did do some right enough. But then there were people who went 2 and 3 times a week, but it was pricey, you know, to
yes.
do that too. And that was really, really hard times in the late 20s and early 30s.
Mm.
Work was scarce everywhere, you know. But...
I mean, you mentioned as well, I mean, like in...
did I mention something?
People like Charlie Chaplin, I think.
Oh, aye, of course.
And I mean, I was thinking of that when you were saying
Hard times, that's right.
Very much the
Charlie
same
Chaplin,
that come up in his pictures.
Yeah, Charlie Chaplin was really always an attraction. I'm sure we always went to see him.
Yeah.
And even then, long way back now, my boys are 52 and 50 now, but we had a cousin, if we have still a cousin, who was always interested in the wee cinematograph thing, and he had them of Charlie Chaplin and would show them in the house, you know, and I would say, bring your thing with you when you're coming. And he would take pictures at the Sunday school trip, and as sure as anything, the boys were always in them, you know, and he had them. But Charlie Chaplin was a great favourite that he had. I don't know if he still does that, but I wouldn't be surprised. He was always interested in that kind of thing. Forgotten about that.
I mean, did you like the comedies?
Oh, yes, aye, the comedies.
Yeah.
The other two. The Laurel and Hardy's were very, very popular. Very popular indeed. In fact, I think they still are. When they put them on, people still like them. When you see them in television, you still laugh. Which is something, isn't it, after all this time? But the modern films are wonderful too, right enough, you know. I mean, the wonderful, what would you call it, the art that they have, you know, making films must be far, far exceeding what was done long ago. They're very modern. The techniques, I mean, the techniques of their film making, marvellous.
Do you remember when colour came in? Was that something that impressed you?
I did tell you I remember going to see the first one with the sound.
Yes.
In the south side of Glasgow. And then shortly after that, there was a right weepy because I had a big silk scarf on and it was wet with the tears, you know. I don't know what that one was, but it must have been a very, very moving one anyway. That we a lot everybody when we went away there to see it. I would maybe be 16, 17 at this time I'm talking about, I'd reckon. I'm not up to the dates when that was it the jazz singer or the singing fool that were the one jazz singer was the first,
yes,
I think, with the talkies.
Yes.
It could have been the singing fool, mind you.
Yes.
That was the weepy one, singing, climb up on my knees, sonny boy, you know. And I remember that very much. But for the colour, I don't know, when do you reckon the colour came in?
Well,
it would just come in gradually and it would just...
I think one of the earliest ones that came to Glasgow was Snow White.
Oh yeah, that would be the beginning, yeah.
Though I think there were films before that had a bit of colour in, these
colour.
Ones really did the...
They showed Snow White up here in our La Scala then. Yes, of course, I think it was shown everywhere. Do you mean that was the one, the cartoon type?
Yes.
Aye, of course. A Disney.
Aye. Is that one that you remember?
Yes, I remember that. Oh, I saw that one all right. And we used to get magazines with film stars, and you read about them and all about their lives, but I never had them very much. Probably got them from somebody when they were finished with them. Maybe somebody older would give you them when they were finished reading them.
Passed around.
Oh, aye, they got passed around quite a bit. Mm-hmm.
Did you like the gangster films? I mean, Edward G. Robinson.
No, I'm not really all so keen about that. But they were popular. They really were. But I would never go purposely, you know, to see that, I don't think, no.
Yeah. Did you prefer the films that they made in Hollywood or the ones that were being made?
I would fancy I liked the Hollywood ones. Mm. Even when you look back now, they still maybe look a bit better, don't they? I always intend to watch a film, but they're either on terribly late or, not that I'm an early bedder, but... they always never seem to fit in with the time. I look up and I say, I wonder if I could get a film to watch, you know.
That's right.
Even if it was an old one. Ah, that's right, they start kind of late. That's it. But, that's all. But it's good that they're still going on. And do you think, well, they went into a bit of decline, didn't they, in England for a long while, all the where they make them there, but there seem to be quite a few coming back, don't they now?
I think so, especially over the last few years.
There seems to be a kind of resurgence there of them. I'd hope so, anyway. Get the work here. Of course, they always have our actors and actresses out in America, don't they? I do incline to read about them. I just read one this week. She's here just now, but she spends all her time, lives now in America. It wouldn't be Ellen Mirren, would it?
Well, because she's
in the news just now.
Yes. I think she does live in America.
I think that was it, given her. Yeah. And I mean, she's actually Scottish, isn't she? Uh-huh. Yeah, could have been. And then, always mind all the Brian Ricks farces. We used to like them because that's kind of slapstick things we used to like. I remember a holiday in Newquay. I know the year it was 1966, because it was the big year that England won the World Cup. And we were in a little hotel, and I loved the football. I was always in watching all the games. But this lady says, my husband always watching that football. I would like to go and see My Fair Lady. Would you go with me? And I very graciously said, yes, I would go. And it was really good. That was a good film. I remembered it from being there that time. And I gave up the football to go and watch My Fair Lady.
I think that's quite a good deal, actually.
It was a good deal. It was.
You got the better side of that bargain.
That's right, I would say that. I didn't even know that the people, you know, they just happened to be in the hotel. And it was a smallish picture hall in Newquay. Nothing great, but not a great lot. They depended on their good weather and all that for their entertainment. But they did have this hall where we went, and I must say it was good. But I never go when I'm in Scarborough. Never go to the pictures at all. I don't go when I did go once in Canada with my son and his wife, and we saw Dudley Moore. And was it the one with Bo Derek, I think?
Was it ten?
I did see that out there. Yeah. They do go occasionally, but they again go to musicals and things. Yeah, they took me to the Phantom when I was there for my birthday. Went for a dinner and then went to the Phantom, which was really something, because the hall had all been done specially for it. They call it Pantages, this big hall in right downtown Toronto. And it was quite an experience, which I think I appreciated more after, but maybe hearing the songs again, you know.
Yeah.
You know, these things, that it grows on you a bit,
yes.
Right?
So I've never made
a film of that,
no.
Have they? No.
I was going to ask, it sounds like from what you're saying, that live entertainment is more live entertainment.
We used to, the Glasgow Empire was quite a regular thing, mostly when it was somebody that we liked, but
yes.
We went a lot there.
Can I ask you a bit more about the Gracie Hughes visit, because I'm quite interested in that. Can you remember?
Not much, no, other than that I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. There's no way you can find out, I don't suppose, the records. It'd be difficult to find out when it was, and there's nothing about that particular time except all the crowds and
that's
all the adulation
yeah.
that I remember. Oh, the crowds that used to meet, you know, when they came. Of course, a lot of them had flops in the Empire too, as you've probably heard. The Bob Monkhouse talks about the dreadful experience of coming to the Glasgow Empire. And they were so hard to please, the audiences there, you know. But
I've heard of a number of the big stars coming, though. Not just Gracie Fields, but folk like Jessie Matthews.
Yes, Jessie Matthews was there, she was.
Is she someone that you liked?
No, not particularly. Didn't like her voice, that. thin, a wee bit thin. A dancer too, of course. But I don't think I would have gone to that somehow. No. All the big bands that came were wonderful. These really big bands came there, all the American ones.
Yeah.
I saw Jack Payne, and I have seen Jack Hilton, but they weren't in the Empire. They were somewhere else, but both were like these. Wait, there's a Clydebank lad went away to play down in bands in London, and he was with several bands, but he finished, he was with Roy Fox and Jack Payne, so we all went when he was there, you know, to see him. And then he was with Sid Millward and the Nitwits, and he worked till he was quite a good age, you know. His home was in London, but they used to be 6 months in the Lido in Paris and 6 months in America somewhere. That's the way they worked. There'd be 6 months in a place at a time. He always visited us when he would come back, you know. He would play the banjo, you see. My husband got his place when he left here to go away down.
Right.
He went first up to Aberdeen, of course, and then went to Debarry Cafe, then went down to London after that. And I think the first one he was with was Roy Fox. He became quite well known too through the television, and he always sang the theme song of the Cool Clear Water. He sang that
right.
was one.
Right.
A nice voice he had, and a good player, you know. But his career was in music. And we've seen him in the Glasgow Empire. And my husband's been backstage. Who else was he backstage? Seeing somebody up there that we knew. Another Clydebank lad who was very well known here, but it's all so long ago. Nat Lees, he was a great player, and he was with the accordion band. And they saw him after, you know, he could get in later on. Go backstage to speak to them when they came up. Of course, they'd been close friends, of course. But I didn't join in that. That was just the men that did that.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's the best I know about films. You've given me a new interest. I'll maybe start and look at the programmes there, even though I don't have the children here,
yes.
And go and see something. I like Robbie Coltrane. I think he's a fantastic actor. I think he's really good. Very, very clever. Rab Nisbet, I like to. My friends discussed the thing. I'm awful. I went along and saw him along in in the Singer Hall there.
Right.
They made it a wee theatre. And I went in a lovely hot Saturday afternoon. It was dreadful, but it must appeal to my lower instincts, I think, that.
It's very funny. Oh,
some parts, his dialogue can be really funny, you know. I think them being arrested and, not what, he had a blanket over his head. I don't, oh, now I've forgotten it. First time I've had a blanket over my head and so and so. But a lot of his wisecracks are really, really good, you know, but there's some bit rough bits in that his shows as well. I know people wouldn't watch them, they're disgusted. Of course, I'm a David Mellor follower as well. I listen to him. And my brother-in-law said, I don't know how you can listen to him. And I think he's very, very clever, you know. He knows his football.
Yes.
And he's got away with, well, we know he's got away with people.
Yes.
Maybe women in particular, yeah. but that's another subject again. But I do have him in. I won't be in the next two Saturdays, but I always listen to him. Of a Kaelian Saturday at Ellensborough. And then the Highlanders dance is the fall Saturday,
right.
Dinner dance. So that's two Saturdays. Usually that's my home day.
Right.
I'm home on a Saturday. But I'm sure you're ready for something to eat. You must be starving, for goodness sake.
That would be lovely. That's okay. Oh.
I've just to put the soup on. I made it on Sunday and I put it in the fridge, not in the freezer, in the fridge. Last night as well, of course. And we'll have soup and a sandwich, is that the same? And tea or coffee, whatever you like. We'll see. But, oh, that's no bother, I always have. This is just 1 o'clock, usually I stop and have something. So have you any other questions?
Well, I think we've covered quite a lot, actually. I mean, not just cinema,
Other things have come in between.
I mean, it's very interesting, especially as, you know, as you see, most of the buildings that you've mentioned aren't around there.
That's true.
So it's really interesting to get
there's none
sort of
there at all.
Them.
You know, they're not at all. And it's strange, they've just started building now. Where the cinema was, it went away. You can see there's a big slope if you'd seen it goes down off Kilbowie Road. There was a billiard hall just along a bit, and again, you went down steep stairs into the underground there, and there was the four-storey tenements up above there.
Right.
But they weren't away at the Blitz. They were still here for quite a while. They were all badly damaged and bits missing, but I know people who lived in one for a time, but they've been away quite a number of years now, you know, that the whole face of the Kilbowie Road's all changed, you know, completely. But it's lovely, and the business park is really nice. I think it's, to me, everything's for the better, and all the people complain about the shopping centre, and I think it's just fantastic. It's great for me just out the door and down there, it's so handy, you know, that I don't know why people complain so much about it. But they do, because it's all good to have everything just near. You don't need to go on a bus or anything like that. And look at the variety of shops. I don't suppose you've been in it.
I haven't.
No, no.
Just passed it.
Maybe when you go, I'll maybe put on my coat and take a walk down and see wherever. Which bus did you get, dear?
I got an 11.
An 11, good service.
Yes, that's great.
Good service, the 11. I use it myself a bit. I did, but I now get a lift every Wednesday. The 11's the only one that goes down on our main road, you see.
Yes.
All there is cut away up the back.
Oh, I see. Mm. I see.
So, I'll give you the paper.
Okay.
If that wee bit paper's any use to you, you could have it. You know,
that would be great.
Not to me, you know, but Margaret says, remember I gave you the bit out of the paper? I said, yes, Margaret.
No, that would be very useful, because it's...
Get some facts and figures in.
Yes, but thanks very much.
Mm.